Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need to update your window treatments with Window Images blinds and shades. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Plus, get them trimmed to width in-store for free. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week. Save big
money at Menards. My hands tremble as I stare at the photograph. Uncle James is alive, hiding in plain sight as the dead man whose house I'm cleaning. Inside his secret journal, the truth hits me like a physical blow. Vivian is stealing from her own brother's estate, from Kira's inheritance. Everything I thought I knew about my family was a lie, crafted by the woman who swore to protect me. Hi, I'm Kira. Before I continue, please like and subscribe. Living paycheck to paycheck wasn't how I planned to spend my 20s, but here I was, 3 months behind on rent after getting laid off. I needed money, fast. "You can't be serious," I said, staring at Maya across our coffee shop table. "Cleaning out abandoned houses?" Maya shrugged. "It pays cash, and my brother's company needs help. People leave behind entire lives sometimes. It's not glamorous, but it's $80 per house." I swallowed my pride along with a gulp of lukewarm coffee. "When can I start?" "Tomorrow," Maya replied. "Nathan will text you the address." After my parents died 5 years ago, everything fell apart. My Aunt Vivian took control of everything, the family home, the insurance money, all of it. She'd promised to manage things until I finished college. "It's what your parents would have wanted," she always said whenever I asked about finances. The next morning, I pulled up to a small bungalow with boarded windows. Nathan, Maya's brother, greeted me with rubber gloves and garbage bags. "The owners walked away during foreclosure," he explained. "Everything goes except major appliances." The work was depressing but straightforward. I filled bag after bag with abandoned belongings. Clothes still on hangers, family photos, children's toys. By my third house that week, I developed a system and was earning enough to make a dent in my overdue rent. "You could always move in with me and Mom," my cousin Derek suggested during one of our rare phone calls. We'd been close as kids, but Vivian kept him on a tight leash. "Thanks, but I'd rather clean 100 abandoned houses than live under Vivian's roof," I replied. Derek sighed. "She's not that bad." "Easy for you to say. She doesn't control your every move or manage your inheritance into thin air." "She says your parents didn't leave much," Derek said. "The medical bills." "What medical bills? They died instantly," I snapped. "Never mind, how's your job hunt going?" We switched topics, but the conversation left me uneasy. Derek had always believed his mother's version of events. My Uncle James might have helped. He'd been my dad's only brother and financial advisor. But he disappeared 6 years ago. Vivian claimed he'd embezzled from clients and fled the country. I didn't believe her story. Uncle James had been the one person who questioned Vivian's control over family matters. Then suddenly, he was gone. As the weeks passed, I cleaned more houses and slowly rebuilt my savings. The work was exhausting, but at least I was regaining some independence. Every bag I filled felt like reclaiming a small piece of control that Vivian had taken from me. 3 weeks into my new career as a property cleaner, I developed a routine and some emotional calluses. "This one's a hoarder situation," Nathan warned, handing me an extra set of gloves. "Double pay, but it's rough in there." He wasn't exaggerating. Every surface was stacked with newspapers, old mail, and broken electronics. "How do people live like this?" I muttered, carefully stepping through narrow pathways. "Everyone's got their demons," Nathan replied. "Sometimes they just take physical form." That night, Maya invited me for dinner. The home-cooked meal was a welcome change from my ramen diet. "So I got a weird call today," Maya said, refilling our wine glasses. "Your aunt was asking about you." I nearly choked. "Vivian called you? How does she even have your number?" "Said she was worried since you haven't been returning her calls. Wanted to know where you're working now." "And what did you tell her?" "Nothing specific, just that you were doing fine." My phone buzzed with a text from Derek. "Mom asking questions about your new job. What should I say?" I felt a familiar knot forming in my stomach. Vivian was circling, which never meant anything good. The next morning, I arrived at a small ranch-style house on the edge of town. Unlike most properties, this one looked maintained from the outside. "Owner died," Nathan explained. "No family claimed the property or possessions, so everything goes to estate auction." Inside, the house was surprisingly clean and organized. Photos on the walls showed an older man with fishing gear, always smiling, always alone. As I worked through the living room, cataloging items for auction, my phone rang. Vivian. After 6 ignored calls, I finally answered. "What do you want?" "Is that any way to speak to family?" Vivian's voice was syrupy sweet. "I'm concerned about you, Kira. These jobs you're taking, cleaning abandoned houses, it's beneath you." "Paying my own bills isn't beneath me." "You know you can always ask for help. Family money is meant to be used." "What family money? According to you, there isn't any left." "That's not entirely true," Vivian said carefully. "There might be some funds available, if you're willing to sign some paperwork." My grip tightened on the phone. "What kind of paperwork?" "Just finalizing some estate matters, nothing important." "Send me copies first," I said. "These things are better discussed in person. Come to dinner Sunday. Derek misses you." I reluctantly agreed, if only to see what she was plotting. After hanging up, I returned to cataloging the dead man's possessions. In the hall closet, I found a small box of family photos. As I sorted through them, a chill ran down my spine. In the background of one faded image, I spotted a familiar face. My hands trembled as I stared at the photograph. The man in the fishing photo was older, with a beard and glasses, but those eyes were unmistakable. Uncle James. "Nathan," I called, my voice cracking. "Who owned this house?" "Guy named Edward Miller. Lived alone for about 5 years. Heart attack took him last month." Edward Miller. A fake name. I looked around with new eyes. Not a stranger's home, but my uncle's hideaway. In the study, the desk drawers contained ordinary items. Pens, paper clips, bills. But when I pulled out the bottom drawer completely, I noticed it was unusually shallow. I ran my fingers along the inside and felt a slight ridge. There, hidden beneath a false bottom, lay a leather-bound journal. "Taking a break?" Nathan asked, appearing in the doorway. I slipped the journal into my bag. "Just needed some water. It's dusty in here." "Take your time. I've got another job to check on. Lock up when you're done." Once alone, I opened the journal. The first entry was dated 6 years ago, just before Uncle James disappeared. "April 14th. Vivian is up to something. The numbers in Thomas's estate don't add up. Large withdrawals, all after his death, all authorized by V as executor. She's stealing from her own brother's estate, from Kira's inheritance." My heart raced. I flipped through more pages, each entry documenting my aunt's systematic theft. "April 28th. Confronted V today about the missing funds. Big mistake." She laughed. "Said no one would believe me over her." "Who are you?" "Just Thomas's odd brother who talks about numbers all day. I'm the grieving sister-in-law taking care of his orphaned daughter." She threatened to report financial irregularities at my firm if I went to the police. "May 3rd, V came by with paperwork for me to sign, documents that would have made me complicit in her scheme. I refused. She said she'd destroy my reputation, my career, everything. May 10th, no choice but to disappear. V has too much influence. She's already told everyone I've been embezzling from clients. My own partner believes her. I've secured a new identity, will establish myself elsewhere, and gather evidence." The final entries documented his life as Edward Miller and his failing health. "January 2nd, this year. Chest pains again today. Doctor says it's serious this time. If anything happens to me, I hope someone finds this journal. Kira deserves to know the truth and to reclaim what's rightfully hers." Tears streamed down my face. Uncle James had been hiding from Vivian, trying to protect me, and I hadn't known. He'd died still trying to expose the truth. I called Derek. "Can you meet me, now?" "It's important," I said. "What's wrong? You sound weird." "I found Uncle James." Silence then. "What are you talking about?" "I found where he's been living, and I found his journal." "Derek, your mom has been stealing my inheritance money for years. Uncle James found out, and she threatened him until he disappeared." "That's crazy, Kira." "I have proof. Meet me in 30 minutes, and Derek, don't tell your mom. Derek stared at the journal pages, his face cycling through disbelief, anger, and finally acceptance. I need your help, I said. She's been stealing from me for years, and now she wants me to sign papers that would probably give her everything permanently. Derek nodded. Sunday dinner. You said you'd come, right? Let's use that. We spent hours planning our approach. No confrontation, no accusations. Just a carefully laid trap. Sunday arrived, and I entered Aunt Vivian's immaculate house with Uncle James's journal hidden in my bag. Kira, so good to see you, Vivian said, air-kissing my cheek. You look thin. Aren't you eating properly? Hard to eat properly on no money, I replied with a forced smile. Throughout dinner, Vivian steered the conversation toward family matters, dropping hints about my financial situation. I worry about you, Kira, working those dreadful jobs, she said. Your parents would have wanted better. What exactly did my parents want from me, Aunt Vivian? I asked innocently. You never really shared the details of their will. It was all very standard, she said dismissively, but there were complications with the estate. Derek cleared his throat. Mom, didn't you say there was paperwork for Kira to sign? Vivian retrieved a folder. Just some final estate matters. Sign these and I can release some funds to help with your situation. I pretended to review them. These transfer all remaining assets to you as permanent trustee. It's a formality, Vivian said smoothly, for tax purposes. Like the other formalities? I asked. Like the withdrawals you made from my parents' accounts after they died? Vivian's smile faltered. I don't know what you're talking about. Uncle James knew, I said, pulling out the journal. He documented everything before you threatened him into disappearing. That's absurd, Vivian snapped, but her face had drained of color. Is it? Derek asked, pulling out his phone. Because I've been recording our conversations for months, Mom, including when you told me to never mention the beach house you bought with Kira's college fund. Vivian lunged for the journal. You have no proof. Actually, we do, I said calmly. Uncle James kept records of everything, and his lawyer has had copies since January. This was a bluff. There was no lawyer, but Vivian didn't know that. Here's what's going to happen, I said. You're going to transfer what's left of my parents' money to me, all of it. Then you're going to sign over the house, my parents' house, that you've been living in. And if I refuse? Vivian's voice was ice. Derek stood up. Then I release the recordings to the family, all of them. 3 weeks later, I moved back into my childhood home. Vivian relocated to a small apartment across town, her social standing destroyed by her own actions. Among Uncle James's possessions, I found an unsent letter addressed to me, explaining everything and apologizing for not being able to protect me sooner. I placed flowers on his grave, his real name now on the headstone, and thanked him for the final gift he'd given me. The truth. Some people say living well is the best revenge. In my case, living truthfully turned out to be even better.